Why did God go through all the trouble with Adam and Eve? The answer to that and other questions on Key Life.
If you think laughter isn't spiritual or that faithfulness to God means conformity to Christian stereotypes, then this program probably isn't for you. But if you're looking for honest biblical answers to hard questions, then welcome to Key Life. Here's our host, author, and seminary professor, Steve Brown, along with Pete Allinson from Forged Truth.
Thank you, Matthew. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Steve. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Yeah.
And we've said it 1,000 times.
I know.
That hasn't always been a happy Friday. When we were both pastors, Happy Friday was Sad Friday because Sunday was coming. And, you know, Tony Campolo's sermon, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming," is fine for lay people, but it ain't fun for pastors. It's Friday and Sunday's coming and the page is blank and I got to say something. So, Jesus, come alongside and help. And if you don't, we're going to have some serious problems. At any rate, happy Friday to you who are listening. Pete, as you know, comes in and we spend Fridays answering questions. And we've done that for a whole lot of years. And we love your questions. You can send your questions to Key Life Network, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, and that's spelled Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, it's Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org or pick up the phone 24/7, follow instructions, ask your question, and sometimes you can make it on the air with your actual voice. And by the way, and I'm required to say this, and should, if you can help us and don't, something really bad's going to happen to you. No. If you can help us and God tells you to help us and you don't, you're going to get the hives. I am not above manipulation. I'm kidding, of course. If you can help us, please do. If you can't, we understand. Do say a prayer for this ministry. And Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer and we'll get to some of these questions.
Good, let's pray. Our Holy Father, we come into your presence today on this Friday and we just are so thankful that we belong to you. Thank you for coming after us, stopping us in our tracks, bringing us to the end of ourselves and showing us that we need a Savior and that you, our Lord Jesus, are the only one. We honor you. We praise you for your power, your mercy, your kindness, your wisdom. We worship you for the way you have gently brought us to the end of ourselves and given us an awareness of our need for a Savior. Lord, at the end of this week, we need you. We need you every day. But Lord, we ask that you would take the challenges that we face. We give them to you. Help us to be honest with you with those challenges. Meet our needs. Fulfill our deepest desires, Lord, that honor you. And we pray for our leaders this weekend, our pastors, our priests, our teachers, our worship directors. Lord, so many that work so hard to bring the pure and clear gospel of Jesus Christ to us and how that transforms our life. We pray for them and we pray that your church would experience your blessing and renewal across our country. Holy Spirit, pour out your blessing and power on our churches. And now we give our time of Q&A to you and pray that you would be honored and lifted up and people encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pete, let's first go to our phone lines.
If God knows everything beforehand, then why didn't he make Eve with Adam when he knew it wouldn't be good for him to be alone?
Yeah. Well, I understand that question, and it's a funny question, but I have no idea what the... I mean, God does as he pleases, and he does it right well, and he doesn't check with me very often, so you can ask him yourself when you get home. But there is a sense, you know, when you think, why all the trouble with Adam and Eve and all the things that we've gone through? Because that's his methodology of getting to us. It is very presumptuous to say this, but what if you were God and you were loving? How would you express that? How would you go about it? How would people know you could make a puppet and pull the strings and put the arms around you to hug you, but it doesn't mean anything? And so there's freedom and responsibility and sin and failure and darkness so we can see the light. Mm. And so I think he was being facetious in asking that. But a good answer to that kind of question is, would you rather not have known him?
Mm.
Because this may be the only way that knowledge of God becomes real and profound and life-changing.
Wow. Wow. We got to think that one through deeply.
Yeah, really.
You know, that's good. And, you know, one other possibility of why he did it the way he did it is because he did set Adam up as the one to represent the human race.
Oh, yeah.
And if they were created simultaneously, that might send the wrong message. So the headship of Adam was primary, and he represented the human race, so that now the second Adam, Jesus, can represent the whole human race too.
And the whole infrastructure of the Christian faith is built on that doctrine.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then how that sort of slides down to the family level too, is that we men are called to lead our families. And Adam was clearly put in that role as well. So
yeah. good stuff.
Good question. I don't know if we've ever got it quite that way before.
And I don't know whether he was being facetious or really asking, but it was a good question and it brought some good answers. Is there any evidence that Jesus was married? And then the second part of this email, was Paul the Apostle a married man?
Yeah, you know, Jesus was 30 when he started his ministry, and you would think that had there been any evidence of being married up to that point, it would have been obvious.
There is none. And don't let anybody tell you. I don't care if his name is Brown, who wrote those dumb novels. That was pure surmise.
That's not your relative.
No, he's not. Okay. He's not even a cousin.
All right, okay.
And I wish he was named Smith. But anyway, that novel that he wrote is just that. It's fiction, and it's real fiction. And don't let anybody tell you different. There is no evidence at any place, or even that movie, The Last Temptation of Christ. There just isn't any evidence. So you got to manufacture it, and that's what Brown did.
Yeah.
You need to then enjoy the story. It was a good story, but you got to buy into a lot of nonsense to get to the good story.
You know, people are always trying to make money off of reinventing stories and writing new ones. And that's what that is. It's all fiction. What about Paul?
No, he said he wasn't.
Yeah.
In fact, he outright, you know, you'd think if he were a member of the Sanhedrin that he'd be married, but he wasn't. He said, I would like for everybody to be like me.
Yeah.
And then he said, it's better to get married than to burn with lust.
Mm-hmm.
So no, Paul was not either.
Yeah. So there it is. Now, marriage is the creation ordinance that God has given for most of us.
Yeah.
And Jesus was very clear that to not be married is a gift and a calling.
Yeah.
And so there it is.
There it is. We've answered that adequately and in a profound and wise way. If Lucifer was a created being made by God, how could iniquity, pride, have been found in him?
Yeah. Well, you know, one easy answer to that is to say that God created the spirit realm as well as us with the capacity to fall.
That's true.
And so the actual entrance of sin in the world is difficult to account for, but it is. It's,
you know,
there.
We always go to that scripture that says God does not create evil, and we know that.
Right.
But he creates free people.
Yeah.
Who secondarily create evil, and Lucifer, that's on steroids.
That's right, I know.
Now, are you Do you believe that was ordained from the beginning?
Well,
are you, in other words, are you infralapsarian or supralapsarian?
I'm supra, you know, right? God is the sovereign king of heaven and earth. Nothing escapes his sovereign command, but it's hard to piece together, and that's why we have all eternity to try to figure it out with him. But we're not going to figure that one out here. No,
and I didn't make up that word either, by the way. It really is a theological word. And Pete and I share the eternal verities. And if you don't know what it means, look it up.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be better for it.
Do some theology. There it is.
That's awful. What is the qualification for serving in church leadership?
Oh, man. You know, that's a really important question.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1 give the clear teachings on that. And, you know, it's interesting because it's mostly character-based.
Yeah.
It is knowledge-based. And, for instance, an elder, a deacon, a pastor needs to be apt to teach, able to communicate the word of truth. But for leading in a position, it's mostly character. Above reproach is the overriding principle.
You know, and I agree with everything you said. I think it's good. You got to be careful, though, because I've had people who were obviously called to be an elder or a deacon in the church, but who refused it because they couldn't live up with the standards that were taught in Scripture.
Right.
That is not perfection.
Right.
It may be that the most important standard for leadership is to know that you don't deserve it any more than you deserve salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody said, well, I meet all those qualifications, therefore I should be an elder, I would say, no, be a Buddhist or whatever. But you do have to be careful that you don't make perfection the qualification for leadership.
Well, that is so important. And yet there's this idea, well, Paul says, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's a good thing he wants to do. And so that's where your self-examination comes in.
That's true.
If it really is a good thing he wants to do, to give, not to draw attention to himself, then that's the baseline.
And of course, those standards should characterize leaders. That doesn't mean that they'll be perfect and won't mess it up some.
Right.
But we ought to look to people that have walked it for a long time, who we know are solid and faithful, even if they're jerks sometimes.
Not brand new Christians.
All right, we got to go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.